what's the council's wishes? Everybody had a chance to go through, I'm assuming. That's the case, I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion's been made by Rayette, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Danny. Do we have any other discussion? Not hearing any, roll call please.
Shirley?
I guess, yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Good, motion carries. Moving on to reports, number one is the finance officer, and Krista isn't going to be able to make it this evening, so if there are any questions, a phone call to her or Andy or myself. If there's anything right now, I'd try to answer if you guys have anything on the financials. If not, we're going to go ahead and jump right on to our administrator's report. So, Andy, the floor is yours.
Well, I'll be repeating this. Well, Rayette, sorry.
You can just do the abridged edition.
The abridged edition? Okay. Well, things are still moving along with the dock replacement. The latest concept is to have a side-by-side adjacent dock built to the existing, by the existing one. And DOT is on board with that, and what they say is within a month or so, they'll be able to obligate funds for the engineering and design and environmental, and I'd say that would take about 9 months to a year to do, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now. I guess related to financials, we now have an 18-month CD in the amount of $200,000 with the city through Alaska USA at interest rate 0.9, so that I agree with it's about $1,700 or so, which is better than we would get a damn with for $2 million. I'll be brief with some of the harbor stuff, maybe Newton can fill in some blanks. I met with a legislative staff and the Department of Labor Commissioner with the ground fault protection issue in the harbor. The short of it is that we're still working on it, and even though we have a waiver that ends in October, they'll still work with us if we can find a cost-effective solution. It doesn't put, essentially what we boil down to, we don't want to lose, put a bird on the fleet, nor do we want to have to pay out, tens of thousands of thousands of dollars from the city, too. So I think he got the message, he understood that, and we'll work to find a solution that can hopefully fit their standards and fit within their code requirements. Related to that is this remote utility monitoring system. It was mailed out. We talked about the last council meeting. It was approved to have the units mailed out. It's been sitting in the next door in the office there for over a week just to test the signal on it and how it communicates to out to the cloud, and then that goes into a database. The network cellular issue, which I thought was going to be the hardest part, is actually working. So just some bugs to work out. But the main issue that I was concerned about is looks like it'll work. And then once we get the other part figured out, we'll be able to put 5 units in different pedestals and see how the monitoring goes between our little computer database and then what electrical usage is actually being used. I'll let Mooney touch on the Magone and URS harbor fix. We're still waiting to see what we want to do with R&M, if we want to pursue going after them for money from this flotation issue in the harbor, but I'm still going to get a written report from Magone and URS about the work that they have to do first before we move forward with that. And we finally got the new harbor damage settlement stuff all figured out with Trident, so we're good to go there. That was deposited in June. I passed around a little sketch earlier today about what EADS and GCI are planning to do at the clinic. GCI is contracted with EADS to increase their internet speed, and they want to put a fiber link between the Earth Station and the clinic. And this sketch just shows what they'll do in the utility easements. So they wanted the city to have this just so they know what's going on, and their goal is to not, I mean, it looks like in the sketch they may not even have to cut anything in the payment. They can use that conduit and then go around the clinic, not even cut through the asphalt of the clinic too. But I'd say sound like, I don't know, within a month or two they'll have an engineer out and probably learn a little bit more. But Dave's been so helpful on that. Insurance, our insurance quote was down about $10,000 less than the previous year. We had the same coverage, or even more actually, because the hardware's finished now. It wasn't finished when we did the renewals last year. So that's pretty good. You can have the same insurance, it doesn't cost as much. We did get a grant to do some water and wastewater and solid waste planning. I'll work with Dave and Alan on some of that. We'd probably go with Bristol Engineering, I think, to do a master plan at USDA. Just had noticed last week that we got approved for that grant. I also applied for a DEC water and wastewater matching grant. We'd have to have 15% local match, but if we could do another big project around town and say improving the water distribution in Russian Town, that would be good. But with the state budget issues, I guess we'll find out. Touched a little bit on King Crab rehab. There is interest to do some research in the Sandpoint area of where the King Crab used to be, and I might check out the hatchery in Seward in July while we still have some juvenile crab there before they send them out to be outplanted in Kodiak and St. Paul, just to see what that process is like. And then all our family in town in early August, so I'll take about 4 days off.
Thanks, Andy. Questions for Andy? Not hearing any. I just to be really brief, we talked earlier, and John will probably bring it up again. We do have an applicant for the fire chief, so we'll look at that here soon after fishing and hopefully get that rolling. Playground sound like they've already addressed that, so we'll see if there are any, you know, pieces in there. If not, good. Hope that isn't the case. We did receive our maintenance vehicle for the maintenance department. Ken's a very nice vehicle. Again, just quickly, we had Dave also had some piece of glass come in for one of his pieces of vehicles broken on the way back. We did get taken care of, and they are going to reimburse us for the whole thing, plus shipping. So we'll figure out what we're going to do there. And we did get payment back on the money orders to the tune of almost $10,000. So that was taken care of. That was quite the process to fill out for all those things. I was a little surprised. But anyway, they did come through, and they're here in the bank and deposited. So that's all good. With that, I'm going to stop, and we're going to turn this over to the Department of Public Safety. And John, the floor is yours.
Hopefully, first I'd like to introduce, for those of you who don't know, my wife Darcy.
Hi.
She's arrived off the plane. Happy to have her here. Just a short report. All our statistics are summarized here in the written monthly report. We enjoyed a month that there wasn't much money from fishing, and fishermen were out of sea for much of the time, so that was good. As I mentioned earlier, we had one serious case of a fatality. Just a sad statement for the community to lose somebody who grew up here. And I think, maybe more intervention to prevent this. So we're going to work hard on the prevention end of public safety in Sandpoint. Something that, we so often caught up respond, and sometimes we don't invest enough in prevention. And so I'm trying to rattle a few pages about that and make sure courts are aware and the prosecutors are aware. Sometimes they need to watch what's happening in the case and recognize when, there's a scream coming out and you might not see it because it just seems like a small matter. But in that regard, I really would like to publicly thank Officer Osterback and Officer Chudia. They were there providing intervention at the time when that instance happened. And, it's a pretty tragic thing to go through yourself, being present with someone. Yeah. Intentionally takes their own life, so they come through pretty strong, but they invested a lot in it emotionally and physically and at the time, and what it takes and for them to give, I'm just very appreciative.
Very good. Questions for John? Rhea?
Has to do with EMS, and I've kind of mentioned it before, and the responses are, I've heard them on the radio again in the past month, where the dispatcher is calling for EMS, for the ambulance, and there's no response. And then she's like, is anybody going to respond? No response. And this is, a matter of 10 minutes going by. And then it's like, oh, never mind, we got the med on call down here. well, to me, the ambulance should have been down there before the med on call. And then another time, just recently, it was a 20-minute response time. And I know that it gets frustrating for them if they're going to the same place over and over again. I understand that. But maybe they need to look at it differently, that it's more training, because if you train yourself to respond slowly because you don't think it's important, when it is important, they're going to respond slowly still then. And it's just, it's hard to listen to when you have your dispatchers calling and none of the people on call are answering. You know, nobody answers. And she calls them out again, is there any responders? And there's no responders. And it's like, ugh, you know, I hope I don't get hurt. That's what I think is, like, I hope I don't get hurt when I need an ambulance, because it's going to take 10, 20 minutes. We live in a town where it takes 3 to 5 minutes to get wherever you want to go. It shouldn't take 20 minutes for the ambulance to show up. And I think that that needs to be addressed. And I know that they're volunteers, but if they don't want to do the job, then they shouldn't be there if they can't respond appropriately.
Okay. And then I can fill you in, and I hope you continue to listen, because I think you'll see a big change. About 6 months ago, we had huge issues. We had like 2 people that were running around on EMS, and those were the times maybe 4 or 6 months ago, 5 months ago, in that window, where we were having a struggle with getting anybody to respond, and there were times that personnel responded, you know, to help fill that gap. But since that time, Denise has been very active, and over the course of the last 3 months, they've been having monthly meetings. They had EMS training. We certified, I think, 3 new EMTs that are actually running on the ambulance, and a couple more people that just did the ETT. We've established a schedule that those people have assigned a time. They've sworn that if a radio goes off during this period, we're going to be the people that are the primary responders. So it's not just kind of throwing the hat up and saying anybody who can go, go. We have people that's their obligation to carry their radios on those times. So I think right now it's probably 1,000% better than it was 6 months ago. And I hope that, you know, in the months to come forward, it gets even better. But I think a lot, I don't know how much you have an opportunity to listen to radio, but it's gotten significantly better.
It has gotten better, but these, I mean, 2 calls in 1 month where there's no responders, it kind of like, okay, so how often, you know, how often is this happening? And I'm happy for our volunteers. I'm glad we have more volunteers. That's wonderful. But still, again, I mean, it could be something serious. And I just think when you get in the habit of being like, oh, it's just, you know, John Doe again calling. He's been drinking, or, you know, that's a bad way to look at it. I think it should be considered, you know, go every time you hear, as fast as you can, because it might be somebody's life in serious jeopardy. But that's...
Thanks for that, Alan. Go ahead.
No,
yeah,
I was done.
Okay. Well, I think we need to look inward. I don't think we want to blame it on volunteers, because they are that. I think they are volunteer people, and we need to treat them better. When they respond on Sunday at, you know, 3 a.m., what are they getting paid, right?
Well, that's...
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's another good issue that I intended to mention and I didn't, is that right now, Andy and myself and Jennifer at AHA are working closely together trying to generate income from ambulance runs that'll pool a fund that potentially could pay EMTs per run instead of a small stipend per month. And that is an incentive and an expression of appreciation for their service. So that's something, it hasn't come about yet, but just 2 days ago I sat down, 3 days ago I sat down with Jennifer, and we had a long discussion, and Andy's been meeting with her, and we hope to generate that into interest to serve, and like you said, you know, express an appreciation for those who do make it worthwhile and feel like I'm, you know, I'm valued.
Yeah, good point. Anything else? Anything? Did you have anything else to add to that?
No, I do value them. I just, these are middle of the day things happening, and I just noticed it, and I think it's important that, you know, they know how important it is. I can't imagine that they don't when they go through with all those trainings, but it's a job I couldn't do myself, honestly, so hats off to them. But yeah, that's a good idea, is to make it, you know, as that, where you can give them a little bit more and show your appreciation that way.
Well, I'm glad you said something. Sometimes it takes walking through and missing such a crisis before you realize, you know, maybe we should have taken that a little more seriously. I mean, how many times do we go to the cause? Probably, you know, 200-300 times in the last year or so.